Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. Phone lines, they're open, 8150-939-3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. If you want to hit us up that way, you're welcome to do so here in these dog days of summer. Well, this is like officially the first day of summer, right?
Yeah, it's summer.
And it feels like it.
It does.
It's miserable. As we trudge through it, I think a lot of anticipation for football and really just the next sports season to get here, including now, I think a little some encouraging signs on the baseball front.
Yes.
With a couple of transfer commitments here, hoping that is indicative of a little bit of a change or improved attitude on Dan's part. I think a lot of folks have the feeling there's all the reason in the world to be optimistic about how football is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Both basketball teams are going to go volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Get Dan back on track on the baseball side. That, like, for the first time in a long time, this is primarily, if not almost only, things to be optimistic about for next year. We just got to get there.
Yeah, it's just the waiting. This is why this part of the year is tough. We don't have to wait much longer though, because even with the non-collegiate sports with TBT starting next month, it's just like, can I just get to that? Because even that has a ton of storylines and intrigue from, obviously, the Louisville side. But I got a chance to talk to Twani Beckham recently, who is the GM of the La Familia team. And that's posted on the ESPN Louisville Twitter. He talked about all the stuff that's going into the La Familia team and how excited he is, and the Lexington region and being able to take on Louisville and what that could look like, and how they would determine if both teams make it that far. How would they determine if the game's played in Louisville or in Lexington? Like, all of that has its own storylines that continuously come out. But we just have to get there. Like you said, it's just like the agonizing part of waiting till we get to those actual parts is the only tough thing. But I think in as early as a month, things will amp up and get a lot more exciting around here.
Pretty excited to see the announcement today that Chris Jones,
yes,
going to be on this team. Like, this team, like, everybody loved last year. No question. That was a hit. I think people, when it was over, couldn't wait to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, last year, I think it met a need, you know, after just the first season under Kenny. Like, that really met a need, but it also, I think, it kind of hurt Kenny because people were like, well, we're not the problem.
Yes,
like, look at us. You just made this team up, and here we are. But now, this year, I think people are looking forward to it as sort of a welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of an orientation for Pat Kelsey.
Absolutely.
And this team, and I am hopeful that he will lean into some of this and make it a part of sort of the off-season routine, and that these players will get a chance to see this. Fans will get a chance to see them,
mm-hmm.
be around them, and just sort of give them a little bit of a preview of what it can be like as long as you play like those guys out there. Because Chris Jones out there now with Russ Smith, with Peyton Siva, with Montrez, like this is what I've been waiting for. With Kyle Keurig, like this is what we've been waiting for.
Absolutely. And the expectations are now there, too. It's like, oh, yeah, coach, like, we're going to love on you. We're going to root for you. We're going to show up to the games. But we're also going to expect you to win. Like, that, too, I think is the added layer to adding a guy like Chris Jones, because it's not just adding a guy for namesake. There was a couple of guys on last year's team you had for the namesake. I think a Wayne Blackshear, Rakeem Buckles, it's no disrespect to them, but it's just like, even the fact that the sparring minutes that they played, that their own team saw them as more of a namesake. We want this team to be full of alumni, a bunch of guys from the 2013 team, the championship team, and we want to put on a good show. We want to win, of course, but we want to also make sure we're showing a unified front, and that will hopefully catapult us into the collegiate season, and hopefully it's a lot better, like you said, because we needed it after a 4-win season. Now it's like, hey, not only do we have the namesake guys, Russ, Peyton, Luke, all still attached to the team, but we also want to bring in even more firepower, because we could have won last year, yeah, but we didn't. And why didn't we win? Okay, we want to make sure we have an even better chance at winning this year. And we know if we build a better team, as great as we showed up last year as far as fan participation, all that stuff, even more people will show up if we add a guy that dropped 25 on us last year. Like, that has ties to this school, to this university. Yeah, we go get that guy. We go get, and he wanted to be a part of the team.
Yeah.
And those type of things. So I think Kelsey will lean all the way into that, because albeit these guys are older, they're still competitive basketball players. So if they show up to your open gym, they show up to your runs, they show up to wherever you're playing basketball, wherever there's a basketball and a hoop, this guy's going to want to compete and play and show off and show that they still got it. And the guys on our team are going to like want to show them that they're the old men. Right? Yeah. Like, you guys get out of the way, let us do the thing. And that's going to build an even better, more competitive nature, being the precursor into the actual collegiate season. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's something satisfying about the opportunity, I think, for a lot of fans to welcome Chris Jones back.
Yes.
You know, it did not end in a way that ultimately turned out to be pretty unfair to him, his time here. Mm-hmm. Look, he bears some responsibility for that, but either way, you know, he was awfully trash-talky a year ago.
Yes.
But I think fans will welcome the opportunity to bring him back here and cheer for him. And that's the sort of thing that I'm really hopeful makes an impression on the guys on the team mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, if you really do, coaches too, like, and I, by the way, I have no doubt that Pat Kelsey and Kloman and Ronnie Hamilton, all of these guys will be Cassidy. Yeah.
Yes.
Cassidy, mm-hmm. Like, they'll all be there.
Absolutely.
Because like, this is an opportunity to show people, like, this guy literally got kicked off the team.
Yes. There's no other way to put it.
And fans are like, this is a fake basketball team we just made up. And like, I can't wait to root for that guy.
Yes.
Like, this is what it's like here if you play like these guys play.
And to even further push that point, Chris played on the Jackson team last year, and he got a standing ovation from the fans. Yeah. Like, they cheered for him because he was playing yep. hard. Even though he was talking trash and he felt a certain kind of way or whatever, like, they cheered for him. They were didn't want him to win,
yeah,
but was happy that he dropped 25, because he had 25 points. And he had 25 and had some and ones and was interacting with the fans, interacting with guys on the bit, like, just guys that are sitting courtside, giving daps up, dap ups and all that stuff. Like, fans are into that. And so now that, are you telling me I can have that on my team? Like, where he's supposed to be anyway? I felt like he's supposed to be on our team anyway, because he is an alum. And now he is going to be a part of the team with Russ, with these other guys. With Trez, another guy who at one point felt like excommunicated for whatever reason.
Yeah. Like, well, because of the self-imposed penalties.
Exactly. And so all these guys who felt excommunicated or were excommunicated for a while, now getting a chance to not only be back around Cardinal fans and interact, take pictures, hug babies, all that stuff, but to actually play basketball in front of Cardinal fans and hear them cheer for them and remember what it was like and get a taste of that once again. I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's really going to be awesome to watch and see it all kind of play out.
Which one of the, like, who are you most stoked about? I feel like last year, if they would have had Montrez on that team, that would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled that he's going to be there.
I am really, really happy about Montrez. But I think the most is Chris, because okay. I actually got to talk to Chris after the game last year.
Okay.
And I reposted that on my Twitter. And even what wasn't on camera, like, he really wanted to be on this team. Like, he really is looking forward for the chance. He wanted to be on last year's team, but understood, like, it kind of came together quick. Luke and those guys, I think, put together the team really, really fast. And I don't even know if he knew that they were having a team before he had signed up. Because last year,
I wonder if there was some thought that, like, maybe he wouldn't even want to necessarily.
Absolutely. And there was probably that. And last year was his first year in the TBT anyway. Yeah. So, like, he had already signed up with the Jackson team. But when he got a chance, when he knew he was playing here, he was excited. He went out there, put on a show. And then after they lost, I asked him straight up. I was like, yo, what do you think about being on this Louisville team? And he's like, man, they're already talking about it. So I think before the game was even over, somebody, I don't know if it was Russ, Luke, Peyton, whoever, was like, hey, dude, you know you're going to be with us next year, right? Like the talks were already there, and to get this opportunity this year, I think he is going to make the absolute most of it. And he understands, too, the one thing I took from our conversation, even that wasn't on camera, is that he understands the opportunities here if he's able to get back in good graces. Like, meaning not just with the school and the athletics and basketball program, but just the city of Louisville.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching what Luke is able to do. We're watching what Peyton's able to do. We're watching what Russ and some of these guys are able to do.
Launching a freaking bourbon.
Exactly. And I think
a Chris, successful one.
And Chris, I think, wants in on that. Like, he's like, yo, if I can get back in the good graces of the community there, there's a chance for me, because you can't play basketball forever. I mean, you just can't. So you have to be able to do something outside of basketball, and there may be some opportunities there for him to get in the business scene here in the city of Louisville that's been great to alumni. It just has.
For a while. I mean, like Derwin Webb is a respected family court judge.
Yes.
And has been for a long time.
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of avenues around here. But I think of all these guys that are going to be on this year's team, for, like, there's just something about Montrez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there aren't that many guys like him, and every program can kind of think of in their history, like, the guys that were like him, but just that kind of aggression,
mm-hmm.
And disregard for others. I mean, the other team, not
yeah.
but, you know, like, competitive disregard for others. If there was anything that needed to be that the last couple of years needed rubbed off on them, it's that.
Mm-hmm.
Characteristics of former players. You know, I'm glad they're going to be around Peyton Siva a lot, you know, on the staff. I'm glad all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke talks about him as the best teammate he's ever had, and consistency in practice, effort, all that stuff. But there's just something about the edge that Montrez played with
mm-hmm.
that's been missing for a while here. That, like, if I had to pick, like, that's the guy I want them to take away. Like, I need to be a little bit more like that.
What does it look like if you're running fives or whatever? Montrez is on one side and Cason Pryor's on the other. Like, what does that look like? Like, I mean, they're just like, that is something that you could see. And, like, man, like, that's how I like to play anyway. Like, I like to get up and scream in people's faces and dunk the ball really hard and yell and do all that stuff. Like, that's right up my alley.
Like, I like being hated.
Yeah. Like, that, right? That can work for me. Like, I can see that got him to the NBA. Wasn't always the most talented guy in the draft. He was a second-round pick. Wasn't always the most talented guy in college. But his hustle, attitude, and effort, and mentality got him to the NBA and got him as a sixth man of the year and got him 8 years in the league and potentially more after this TBT stint because of the injury. Like, you could see that and become inspired. Cason Pryor, Montrez around the same size. Especially in college, Montrez probably a little bigger, right? Like, but height-wise, Cason can shoot. Trez was never a shooter.
Despite his efforts early in that year.
Yeah. Never really a shooter. Like, athlete, but attitude, effort, all those things. You could literally be looking at yourself in a decade. Like, I could be that guy. 8 years in the league, multiple contracts, sixth man of the year. Like, I could be that. And I'm going to have that in-house practicing against me, running fives or whatever. It's really, really cool to see that. And not just him. That was just the first player that came to my mind. But the whole team could see that and think the exact same thing.
Like, the reason that I keep kind of harping on him is I think Pat Kelsey's style and really just modern basketball,
mm-hmm.
I think it will be easy, if they're not careful, to just drift into, I'm going to shoot this three.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And like that a coach who wants to shoot it 30, 35 times a game from three, it's probably a lot easier if you're not careful to end up shooting 50
mm-hmm.
than having a really efficient game where you only shoot 28. Mm-hmm. And that somewhere along the line, everyone realizes, like, I've got to be able to shoot threes. And you kind of lose that. If I'm anywhere near the basket, I'm going to dunk it or get fouled. And, like, we have not evolved so far in modern basketball that that guy doesn't have a place on a team.
Absolutely.
And for me, like, Montrezl is just, like, the purest form of a guy who knew exactly what he was.
Yeah.
And if it's Cason Pryor, you know, I would like if that attitude started to rub off on, like, a guy like James Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one of the cool things Montrezl did in the NBA was get to be very good at pick and roll and being a cutter to the basket, mm-hmm. and finishing. Like, James Scott, like, that's you.
Yes.
And you're taller.
Yes.
Like, if you rub that off on him, like, all of a sudden Louisville, I think, becomes a pretty dangerous team.
And that's a good point, too. And I think with the makeup of the team, that's why the non-shooters don't bother me. Because those guys could potentially keep you from that. You know, shooting 50 bad threes, right? Or shooting 50 threes and 35 of them are bad, right? Like I think the non-shooters, because if they stick true to who they are, the James Scotts, the Trey Orrs, they're not going to shoot those. Like, they know that's not their game. They're willing passers. They finish around the rim. And they're like, hey, we weren't brought here to shoot 8 threes a game. Like, no, we were brought here to defend well, to block shots, and to score around the rim. To play our game, the best we can. Not to play what the system tells us to play or what people expect us to do. Like, no, if I'm James Scott and I can score 10 points a game easily just off dunks, then I'm going to try to get 10 points a game easily just off dunks.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to remind me of that? Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell. So, yeah, no, I like that. I like that point a lot, because I definitely think it can be easy to fall into the trap of shooting a ton of threes just for the fact of shooting them, just because the numbers say to, or the analytics or whatever. But if I could get easy layups or easy dunks in and around the rim, why wouldn't I take them? Like, those are good money too. Like, those work too.
There's also, to me, just psychological value. Mm-hmm. The crowd, the rest of the team, the looks on the faces of the other team. When a guy looks like the rim offended him. You know, yes. Montrezl didn't just dunk it.
No.
It was, there was something to it. And Louisville really used to just dunk it like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened, but this started with Mac.
Yeah.
I don't know where the dunks went. But
they definitely disappeared.
That can't stay.
Mm-mm.
And I want them to be different in a million different ways, but we used to dunk the ball all the time. It feels stupid to be saying, like, let's do a segment where we talk about, I wish I hope they dunk more. But, like, God, Jeff, I hope they dunk more.
Yeah, no, for real. Yeah, I mean, at least to be called the Doctors of Dunk. Literally, going back to the 80s. Like, he used to really dunk the ball a lot. So much so that you got a nickname for it. And ESPN Plus did a segment about the alley-oop and came here with Sue Bird to film it. So, yeah, that's why it matters. It matters for a number of reasons, but that's one of the many reasons why it matters. And I think they'll get back to it. I think they have guys who play above the rim who will like to do that. And if they don't now, being in one practice session with Montrezl Harrell will remind them today. If I'm around the rim, I should dunk the ball, and I even let out a scream when it happens. Like, you even do that, and that's fine. And we'll love you for it.
Yeah, there's just something to be said for, I think, the clarity of somebody who's just like, this is my role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not limiting myself, but I know I help the team when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that some of that rubs off. I texted you, did want to know, like, who do you, another former player that you would love to see on the roster?
Ooh.
Because I have one that comes to mind right away. It's not a position of need. I think people hated the way his career at Louisville ended. Preston Knowles would be, you know, if he's still, you know, in a position where he would want to do that and felt like he could help. He's one of my all-time favorites.
I was about to say, why Preston off the top?
Like, to me, he was the quintessential guy that took all the coaching.
Yes.
And ended up being far better than any business being.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
Physically, yeah. Right? Like, he just was and his attitude was fearless. And, like, you know, one of the things we've talked about this before. One of the things that drove me nuts about Kenny is the way he would talk about the players needing to have confidence.
Yeah,
but not really do anything to give them confidence. And to me, it always felt like he had just a real total misunderstanding of what makes players play with confidence. Mm-hmm. And Preston was the guy where it's like, you don't even have justification for being as confident as you are. But he was, because he did, he worked his ass off. He was prepared more than anybody. And he had a little edge to him.
He did.
And I just, I love him. That would be a guy I would like, but that's purely like just for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
Preston would be awesome. There's two that come to mind right off the top. I recently saw the picture of Edgar Sosa and Peyton Siva.
Sure.
So Edgar Sosa, knowing that he's still playing, knowing that there's a relationship there, I would be, and I just feel like we haven't seen Edgar in forever. Like, just in general, like, maybe he's been to games in the last decade. I don't remember ever seeing him in the last 10 years. So getting Edgar Sosa back in Louisville and playing for a team like the Ville, the TBT team, I think that would, like, break the internet. I think it would be a big, big deal. Edgar Sosa means a lot to a lot of people. We made a lot of memories watching Edgar Sosa play basketball. So Edgar is one. Another one, just because I know he's continuing to rehab his injuries. I know he still wants to play in the NBA, and I'd like to see him, you know, perform in front of the Louisville fans again. That's Raymond Spalding. Love to see Ray Spalding. He give you some youth, athletic, like crazy, looking to get back into the NBA like Trez. And so I think they would be able to help each other in that aspect. Like I said, the youth factor, the dunking factor, the blocking shots, all of that stuff. And to show off, like a lot of people don't know, because Ray spent a lot of time rehabbing and in the G League, that, you know, he's expanded his game. He shoots threes now. He has better handle. He's way bigger than we ever saw him at Louisville. Like, he's probably like 250 pounds now, like, of all muscle. So I would love to see that being displayed on the TBT stage in front of fans at Freedom Hall. So that's what I would like to see.
A couple of text suggestions in here. One, I would love Francisco. No 80s guys. I think the 80s guys have had consulted with their knees and ankles and would agree. They also are not interested.
This is very true.
Texture says, wet dream. Sosa hits a game-winning three over the La Familia team.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me a cigarette if that happens. Pass them around if that happens.
Absolutely.
Spalding was suggested. Dwayne Sutton also suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree with any of those. I think Francisco Garcia, again, being thrown on by a lot. Earl Clark being thrown on by numbers. I'd want Zan Payne on the team.
He is an alum, so that works.
You'd be the only one, sir, whoever asked.
That's the first time anyone's ever typed that sentence.
Ever.
Ever.
Zan Payne, that would be funny, though. Now, okay.
It's the summer, dude. So, there's no topic being neglected by whatever you're about to
say. If they announced Zan was on the team, does Kenny show up to a game? If his son was on the Louisville TBT team.
I think there's more of a chance that Zan's on La Familia than he is on our team.
Now, that's very true. That's absolutely true. But I can tell you this, after talking to Twani, Zan didn't have a chance to make the La Familia team. As no disrespect to Zan, but after talking to Twani last night.
No, disrespect to Zan.
He has zero shot.
Larry O'Bannon being thrown out.
Larry would be nice. Larry's still in shape, too, man. He can play. He played for a long time overseas. I don't know. I almost said, I don't know how that'd work because he works at the university, but Steve is on the team. He works for the basketball team. So, yeah, why not? Give Larry a call. See if he'd take it. But, no, there's no way Zan would make the La Familia team. Does Kenny show up to a game if he's on the Louisville team, though?
I think no one ever went broke betting that Kenny wouldn't show up somewhere.
That's very true.
Sorry.
He was at one game last year, wasn't he?
The first one.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe.
See, you don't even remember.
Allegedly.
I was like, I think he was at a game.
He was there, yeah.
I know the team was at a game, but.
Yeah, he was there at one. He was there at one.
That was the highlight of Trent Flowers Louisville career.
That's right.
And Caron Davis. He had that meme, I think, Bozich made, and it made its rounds of him being surprised at a dunk. I think it was one of those dunks Mayo had, and Caron Davis had the reaction. Bozich caught it on camera. Made its rounds.
I remember Dennis Evans being there.
Yes.
Much taller than everybody else.
Very much so. He was. The reason why I know all these things is I was like right there. Like, oh,
yeah.
I was
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I was
there.
On the baseline on one end, too. Yeah, they were on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was right next to all of them when all that went down. There's no way Kenny was showing up, even if Zan was playing. I don't even know if.
Would Zan have played? Like, that's the thing. Like, he wouldn't even see the floor.
No.
That man started the game last year.
He did. For the collegiate team. Not the alumni team with guys that hadn't played in college in 10 years. Started for the actual collegiate team. Multiple games. Multiple.
How about Caron Davis?
I'd take Caron.
I'd
take Caron.
I'll tell you right now, Caron Davis would...
He'd actually be really good, probably.
Well, I don't know if he... I mean, I don't know. I still don't know what he does basketball-wise.
No clue.
But if he were out there, he would get... I think he would get hearty applause.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did he commit? Like, Louisiana? Was it?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Okay, the difference is that or like Monroe or somewhere down there. But okay, Louisiana, gotcha. I'll definitely tune into their games to see if he plays.
He is a raging Cajun now.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But it, like you said, if he checked into a TBT game at Freedom Hall, all 10,000 people are showing or stand, giving up and giving a standing ovation.
Isn't it wild to think about that? Like, right now, I think... In terms of like a approval rating, or if he sort of made people pick one or the other, like Kenny was on a national championship team, his alum, like he coached here. People are like, give me Caron Davis,
absolutely,
who I know nothing about, except for Kenny didn't like him.
Not at all.
He allegedly fought him in practice.
And people are like, okay, I understand.
And he kept showing up. Yeah, he kept showing up. Like, we were happy to see him in the stands. Like, folks were actually genuinely happy to see Caron Davis at a random game. And guess what? He was showing up with his teammates. If it was a women's game, he was there with Mike James. If they were talking about him at the podium, Brandon Hatfield looked like he wanted to cry. Like, everybody liked him.
Yeah.
Except for Kenny. Everybody seemed to really
like
him. They
lost the DePaul and Arkansas State games because of Caron Davis.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. Like,
and that sentence makes no sense.
None at all.
You know, a texture says, I'm sorry, Mark, but you got to find a way to get Caron Davis on the show. I think we all have some questions. You know what? I'm going to get to work on that. I agree.
Well, now he's on another team. It may be a little more difficult.
Yeah, but I know the SID there.
Hey, that's perfect. That actually works.
Yeah. We got to work on something.
There it is.
It's like you want to request to interview a guy that didn't play a single game at his preview. Okay, sure. We'll just do the interview. I don't care. That'd be awesome if you can pull that.
I mean, he clearly loves it here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think I'll have to persuade him to do it.
Oh, no. Not at all.
I think it's a matter of will Louisiana let him do
that's,
it.
That's the hurdle.
It's July.
Why not? Come on, guys. Why not?
It's all about promotion.
Absolutely. You get some exposure. We're going to ask him about, you know, why he chose the school he's at now. Yeah. But we're going to get to the bottom of things.
Correct. Now that he's, like... Brendan Quinn, you know, from The Athletic, did talk to him, got some quotes from him and that sort of thing. But, like, you could tell he was still trying to figure out what he was going to do, and he didn't want to make too many waves. You are where you are now.
Yeah.
Let's make some waves.
Let's talk about it.
People are going to believe him, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everything. They're going to believe everything. He can say the most salacious thing ever. They're going to believe all of it.
I'm going to get Hassan on that.
That'll be nice.
I'm going to figure that out.
That'll actually be pretty.
I think it'll be amazing.
That'll be must hear radio. Like, we gotta tune in for the day. That's the exclusive. Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, even with that national piece, like you said, he didn't want to shake any tables, didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But he has a story to tell. Like, he definitely has something to tell. Because all of that was weird. And then he still kept showing up. And then his teammates still kept showing up with him to other things. And even when they spoke about him, they spoke glowingly about him. All of them. Whoever said anything about him, nobody had anything bad to say. And so, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to hear what he has to say. Even now, it would be.
All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to pivot just a little bit to some football. And thinking about next season and this roster, this team, as the previews are starting to come out now, we're only a couple of weeks from Media Day, so we're going to get the voting. For people's preseason predictions, that sort of thing. And I think people starting to focus in again. This is about the time of year. It seems like people's opinions about Louisville either start going up or down.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious what you think about a couple things. So we'll take your calls, your texts here throughout. Talk about that on the other side here. On the Drive on Nathanville. Yeah.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy. So we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
It's time to replace your heating and air system. We know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., 8150-939. That's the number if you want to get in here, 38-31-939 for the UPS job sex line. Text it in a picture of the shirt, the misprinted shirt, with Louisville written in block letters, but the outline of the state behind it was Louisiana.
Okay.
And said, is this why Caron Davis went to Louisiana? It's as good of an explanation as any. Also, I have that shirt in two colors.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I have a red one, and I have a gray one. It's hilarious.
It is very much hilarious.
And they somehow, like, they usually get dumped on Target or TJ Maxx.
Yeah, like, how did that even happen?
It has to be somebody picking state outlines and teams, like, from a drop down. You know, Louisiana will be right there.
Yeah.
You can just pick the wrong thing. Like, sometimes a all ACC team will come out, like, when media days, everybody votes, or you have the top 25, and somebody, somebody just gave Kennesaw a vote. You're like, what's that about? And it's they meant to pick Kentucky or something, you know, okay. that sort of thing happens. And then sweatshop workers don't realize that's the wrong state.
Of
I don't know how else
not.
To say it than that.
I mean, that's what it is, because that's where it's to be made. So, no. That is actually funny, though.
I've got two of them.
To be mass-produced to where you were able to snag two of them. Not one, but two. There was that many out there that you were able to grab two of them. That's actually great. It's great.
8150-939. That's the number of you guys. Anything on your minds, we'd love to talk with you. We played the clip yesterday from Greg McElroy saying he feels like Louisville in some ways kind of getting slept on in terms of preseason talk for next year.
Yes.
Football-wise. One, I wanted to ask you if you agree with that, if you think that that's true, and if so, why you think that is.
One, yes, I do, because, I mean, the fact that one person had Louisville 7-5 is enough. Like, that's enough to tell you, like, oh, they think that last year was just an anomaly. And two, that Miami's going to be something that's not. I think those are the two things. Because there's nothing you can tell me about the rest of the conference that I know about the rest of the conference that there should be three teams above Louisville. I just don't think. I think you can make an argument, and you can even definitively say, if you want to, Clemson and Florida State. But after Clemson and Florida State, if we're just talking the ACC based on the rosters, quarterback play, who they're bringing back, the coaches, to put NC State or Miami, but specifically Miami, above Louisville just doesn't make sense to me. And that is what seems to be the going trend. Because Miami has an uber-talented roster, the roster is immaculately talented. I'm not going to deny that. And they brought in an uber-talented quarterback in Ward. That people are just assuming that they're going to be really, really good. Well, I'm not going to make that assumption. I've made that assumption about Mario Cristobal teams before, and it never happens.
Yep.
They're never as good as they're supposed to be. That's not to say he's never had any good teams, but they're never as good as they're supposed to be. So unless he can show me something that he can do with Cam Ward that these other highly offensive coaches have done and made him, like, in with Arbuckle and Washington State, Cam Ward was Cam Ward. At, you know, the previous place, I think it was like a lower level at the FCS level, he was Cam Ward. But will that happen with Cristobal? I don't know. His quarterback seemed to underachieve. Even when he had Justin Herbert, he never looked like the Justin Herbert we see in the NFL. Never looked like that guy. And so that's why I will never put too much stock into that until you show me. And then anybody else, like I said, outside of Clemson and Florida State, and Clemson's on shaky ground themselves, there's no reason why Louisville shouldn't be talked about in that top 2 to 3 teams in the league, and they're not. And that's why I agree with McElroy, because it's like, okay, you know, sleep on these guys if you want to, but if they end up back in Charlotte, it won't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you.
Yeah, I think they are. And I feel like for it really says more about the media that do these things, these preseason predictions and that sort of thing, the previews without a lot of knowledge. I have a hard time believing a lot of them watched enough because I think the junkies for the ACC, like Andrea, is not going to have Louisville go 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like those people, like that's not how that's going to go. But people who didn't watch it much, they're just going to sort of do. I've heard about these guys, and it's going to be the sort of the same old cast. I totally agree with skepticism about Miami. There's Mario Cristobal has a style now. He's going to recruit really well.
Yes.
And then when all those guys are in the league, you're going to look back and be like, why did you go 8-4 or what? Like that's how his teams have always been. And Justin Herbert is like the ultimate, like. It's like Rick Barnes with Kevin Durant. Like, what was
happened?
That about?
Yeah. What happened? Right? What happened? Yeah. But even with Kevin Durant, at least he won like National Player of the Year when he was Rick Barnes. True. Right? Like he was the number two pick. He won National Player of the Year. So we knew, okay, you let that guy. Why didn't you guys make it further in the tournament? That's another thing. But with Cristobal, it's like all his teams underachieve. And like you said, he talent-wise, he may have the most talented roster in the whole league. Like, even more than Florida State, like, they have the talent. So I get that aspect of it. But then this is where coaching differentiates from basketball to football. Because basketball, even with just pure talent, you can make it so far because the guys are just better than the other guys. And in football,
just don't mess it up.
Yeah, just do not mess this up, man. If you got the stars, like, you're going to win X amount of games just based on. But it's in college football, even more specifically, you can have a ton of talent, but you have to have coaching. Like, and Cristobal gets, like, the simple stuff wrong. Like not taking kneeling down. Yeah, right. Like not kneeling the ball and you fumble and lose the game. Like those are the type of, you know, F-ups that he makes. Like those are the type of bonehead decisions that he makes. And those aren't, and they're not far in between. Like it happens often. You're going to get two very head-scratching moments that could cost you games during this season with him. At least two. You're going to get two of them. And so to think that that's just automatically going to go away, I just don't. I like my coach over his. I like my coach over theirs. I like Brom over Cristobal. And so to just automatically assume they're going to be better than Louisville, I think that's just a bad decision. I just don't think it's smart.
Yeah, I don't understand how the last couple of years don't immediately put into your mind if you are covering this league or making your preseason predictions or whatever. Whatever I think about NC State, they'll do 80% of it.
Yes.
But not 100. Same thing with Mario Cristobal. And if you are just assuming that Florida State's going to plug DJU in and go right on.
And a ton like, of transfers.
You've seen him too. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how your takeaway from last year in particular is not, well, whatever I think about Louisville, they'll probably be a little bit better because that's just what Jeff does.
Yeah.
Everywhere, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if it's just sort of being beholden maybe to like more of like local media markets, but I always feel like regardless of where people are that cover ACC teams, they just want Miami to be good.
Yeah.
But the Tobacco Road folks always also totally have it. Like they're determined for NC State to be more than they really are. And like, can't we just let them do it once before we always declare they're about to do it?
It would help.
I mean, I know, look, that Louisville was lucky to win that game a year ago, but they did, and they always do, typically, with NC State.
With them, yeah, at least with them.
And I think Louisville will play with a lot of confidence that next year, close games, Jeff, like, they know what to do.
Yes.
They'll be ready. Yeah. No problem.
I like, keeping your coaching staff intact is underrated. That happened. Keeping major pieces of the biggest recruiting wins for Louisville was some of the guys that came back.
Yeah.
Getting Ashton Gelati coming back, getting Quincy Riley to come back. Those were their biggest recruiting wins, not anybody that got out of the portal. Like, I mean, it just wasn't. Like, maybe Tyler Shuck could be, but like just off on paper before the season starts, like those are their biggest wins. And like just to assume that, yes, Florida State brought in a ton of talented people. Like a ton of players are talented that came in, but they lost a lot. Like, they lost their starting quarterback, their two leading receivers, a bunch of running back. Like, they went to the NFL, that is.
And this isn't, they lost Jack Plummer either.
Yeah, no, no. They lost their guys.
Jordan Travis was the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to think that you're going to just plug in DJU and he's going to be what Travis was.
Yeah.
Like, Travis.
And that therefore the whole offense is going to be what they were.
Exactly. Yeah. After losing guys, because once again, it wasn't just losing guys to the portal or lose. You lost guys to the NFL. Meaning they were extremely talented. Yeah. Like, extremely talented. He brought in a bunch of transfers, and they're probably talented too, but they may not be Keon Coleman. Yeah. Like, they probably aren't going to be a Jared Verse.
Yeah, who's replacing Jared Verse at all on that team? Like, and again, I don't follow Florida State that closely, so I don't have an answer for you, but who's going to replace the production that Jared Verse had last year?
And that man child in the middle, their defensive tackle. Oh, my God.
That dude that Louisville could not block.
I mean, that nobody could block. But really, it showed out against Louisville. So much so that the Rams, like, knew they had to get him in Verse because they want to replicate what they saw in the ACC championship game. Like, that's literally something that went on through their minds during their draft process. So, like, these aren't just guys that they're replacing. They're replacing NFL guys, and you're hoping that a bunch of these dudes you brought out of the transfer portal can do just that, but there's no guarantee. Like, there's no guarantee they'll be that. And then, obviously, we know Dabo and his struggles. They're going to struggle because they aren't using the portal at all. So, they're, like, as good as you think they might be, they're going to be good, but they're going to be probably a peg below. They're going, they're now always, and I say a peg below, that's 8-4, 9-3, which is great at a lot of places. But that means 3-4 losses is coming. Could one of those losses be to Louisville? It very much so could. Just like they lost to Duke last year or lost to a couple of teams they probably shouldn't have. Louisville could be a better football team than them, especially since they just don't want to use the portal.
Texas said NC State feels a lot like Cincinnati used to feel in the Big East. Would have good top 25 teams, but Louisville almost always found a way to beat them, sometimes easily against them. Yeah, I always feel like NC State is – a pretty talented roster football wise, and they're wound really tight.
Yeah,
and that a lot of what goes wrong with them is mental, more than anything else. Of course, they've been crushed by injuries too.
Yeah,
and that Louisville just sort of that game to me always feels like Louisville, like, yeah, we're gonna win, and NC State's like, I hope we win. Like, it's one of those.
And I just like,
and they don't even play this year.
They know, and I'm just like, who's gonna be their quarterback?
Grayson McCall.
Oh, so they did.
The Coastal Carolina kid. But they're not running that offense, though.
They're not. They're not. And how does he look in a Dorsett offense? Like, I mean, Brendan Armstrong looked amazing at Virginia. He got to NC State and at times. I'm going to say he looked amazing at times at Virginia. Yeah. Not all the time. But, I mean, he threw for 5,000 yards against Louisville one time. That's a different story. But he didn't look like that at NC State. He got benched. And only had to play again because the guy who replaced
him. Late in the year, they were like, he's the tight end now.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And like, then they kind of denied it, but that's totally what happened?
It's definitely what happened, yeah, because the guy that came in won four games said, actually, I think I'm done. Like, I think I'm done. I think I'm going to hit the portal, save this year eligibility, and go play somewhere else and show off these skills somewhere else. And like, I don't know. NC State, that's just not a team I think of to be, like, worried about, even as good as they can be. But I think Louisville's a step above them. I like our coach better than them. I like our quarterback situation, as long as he's healthy, better than theirs. And so, therefore, I would put Louisville ahead of them. I'd put Louisville ahead of Miami. You can debate about Clemson, Florida State. But that's why I think when McElroy's talking about, you're hearing the NC States and the Miamis and maybe even the North Carolinas before you're hearing Louisville in some conversations, especially it sounds like in conversations that even he's having. And that's why he feels like they're being underrated. And I agree. I don't think you can put three teams out.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dave Doran's kind of like Stoop-esque, where it's like, he's fine. He'll get you 8-9 wins a year and, you know, maybe occasionally like a 10-win year. But he's like just fine. He's been there for a decade and I don't see him necessarily ever winning the conference. But he's not going to do enough to get fired. Per se, unless NC State just has high expectations, like, yeah, we're going nowhere, you're moving on. But like, he's got set there, I think, unless they just adjust expectations to be super high. It's like, you got to win the conference now or we're moving on.
And it seems like they get tighter the higher the expectations are.
Yes.
And I'm always wary of a team like that. That being the case, what you're saying about Louisville perhaps being a little bit underrated, I do think, like, the biggest open question about this team. Here, I'll back it up a little. If I'm okay with just about any year where the questions are more on the offensive side of the ball. Like, if you're going to give me a team and say, Jeff's going to coach this team, how would you like it to be? They're going to be kind of inexperienced and unsure on the offensive side in terms of personnel, but the defense, solid, if not downright good, which they are. Talented guys all the way around. I think they did a really nice job on the portal. Defense, not worried about it. Offense, we'll see. I'm happy with that team. I trust on the offensive side. They'll figure something out, like they did last year. It didn't win them everything, but hell of a first year, hell of a start. And I think in any given year where there maybe there are offensive issues, they're not going to have a year where they're just not good. It'll just be something else. They'll figure something out. Where are the big plays coming from? Because I think I'm not saying that they're not coming, but I think we'd all have to admit, like, right now, I didn't know that the running backs were going to be the home run guys necessarily coming into last year, but that's exactly how it turned out from game one. I mean, yes. Georgia Tech game is put away by Jordan's long run. Right. And then the rest of the year, you know, the two of them really did that all year long. Mm-hmm. And it really never was, outside of what, the Indiana game, the wide receivers that came up with like a bunch of big plays, either catch and run or like just bombs and stuff. Like, it was the running backs that were the home run guys.
Yeah, it was sporadically four wide receivers. It was never on a consistent basis. Like, you had a big, you know, a big play in the Kentucky game or the Virginia game. So, like, Amari Huggins Bruce with the big catch is what I was thinking of. So, yeah, it was always sporadic. And I'm with you. I feel a lot more comfortable with saying, how are we going to, like, having the question, like, what are the ways we're going to be able to score versus how can we stop people? Like, because with Brom going into the season wondering how you're going to score, I know he's creative enough. He has enough of a track record to be like, he'll figure it out. Like he's going to find a way to score points because he always does. Now, if I'm going in saying, like, how are we going to be able to stop people? Now, that would have me a lot more worried, because if you can find a way to hold people to X amount of points per game, I think that Brom can get creative enough, even if he doesn't have all the horses that he wants, creative enough to get above that number. If the number's, let's call it 21, hey, we have to score more than 21 points per game, or 18 to 21 points or whatever, I have confidence in Brom that he can score over 21 a game, no matter how he's able to do it. And right now, that is a question. Like, where are the big plays going to come from? Because you have a mobile quarterback, but you don't want him to run because he has injury history. You have receivers that are supposed to be big playmakers, but you haven't seen them yet. You know, some of them were hurt during spring ball. Obviously, spring ball calling is very vanilla. You can't always tell. And they haven't always had the most reps. None of them had a ton of reps at this level, at this place, but a few of them haven't had a ton of reps just on this level. Like, Holland Lacey had, you know, a bunch of yards, but it was for South Alabama. The young man from Alabama, name's escaping me, he had a bunch of yards as a freshman.
Brooks.
Yeah, Corey Brooks. Brooks had a bunch of yards as a freshman, but then over the next 2 to 3 years didn't really play a whole lot. Had injuries, didn't really play a whole lot. You know, Chris Bell has made plays, but it hasn't always been consistent. So those are legit questions. And then after that, you're talking about a bunch of freshmen or younger guys. And then your tight end room is a lot more talented than it was. But these guys have never played here. You know, Isaiah Cummins and Redmond and all these guys. And can they even be?
And can the tight end be the big player?
Exactly.
Guy?
I was just about to ask that. Can they even be that player for you? Maybe. I don't know. But, like, that's why there's a ton of question marks. And then the running back room is just completely different. Outside of Maurice Turner, who we know has extreme speed, but we don't always see that. You don't always see him get to break a big 60, 70, 80-yard run like we saw Jawar and Isaac do both last year. So, yeah, that is very – all of those questions are legit, but I'd rather have those questions on the offensive side of the board than wonder these same things about defense, because unlike the offense, the defense hasn't always had that history of stopping people when you need to stop them, especially if there's questions. Whereas Brom's offense, they've always seemed to find a way to score points.
Yeah, again, I agree with you. I think, you know, given the fact that Jeff's the coach, I'll take making a chicken salad on the offensive side versus trying to do it on the defensive side. I totally agree with that. Look, I'm not ruling out the running backs being those guys again. I don't think they're lacking talent on the offensive side. It sounds ridiculous to say they're going to lose those guys and not miss a thing. But I don't even think we realize how good those guys necessarily were going to be. Mm-mm. There's no reason this group – like, this is a skilled group of running backs.
Yes.
And they've got a lot to work with. So there's no reason they can't still be some big play guys there. I think if you give me a characteristic of Jeff's offenses everywhere that I didn't see last year, that it, you know, I get one wish, it's I get it this year. There were never enough catch and run stuff.
Yes.
From anybody. Take a 6-yard play, make a guy miss, and it's a 40-yard play, you know, that sort of thing. There weren't nearly enough of those to make teams scared of Louisville's wide receivers at all, mm-hmm. especially after Jamari Thrash got hurt at all.
Yeah.
There wasn't near enough of that. And I don't know, I can't tell you I know for sure where that'll come. I think Colin Lacy's totally capable of that.
Historically, it does from Brom. Historically, it does come from that slot receiver. So that's why I think in a lot of these Senior Bowl things and preseason stuff, a lot of people are pegging Colin Lacy to be that guy because historically, the slot receiver has been that guy for Jeff Brom. Like we saw what he did with Charlie Jones. He's a special teams player in Iowa.
Right.
Becomes an All-American. Leads the nation in catches. We saw what he did with Rondale Moore. David Bell played a lot out of the slot at Purdue. Those guys became NFL second-round picks. And even going all the way back to my days at Western, did it with Nicholas Norris, who had multiple 1,000-yard seasons from that slot position. So that's why I think a lot of people are saying tight end and slot receiver with the upgrades there and talent and obviously the scheme that's typically ran, those two positions should make the offense look completely different if those guys are able to produce the way that they've at those positions been able to produce for Jeff Brom in the past. And that's what a lot of people are kind of banking on. And I'm sure that's what Brom's banking on. That's why he brings in, you don't bring in four tight ends for no reason. Like you want that tight end. One of these guys is going to work. Whether it's Jamari Johnson that's already on the roster or one of these three or four guys that I just brought in, Redmond, Isaiah Cummins, whoever else. Somebody's got to work. And somebody's got to work out of that slot position as well or on the just as a wideout. So I'm bringing in a ton of wideouts too. Whether it's young freshman wideouts, you know, transfer wideouts like Brooks and Lacey, somebody's got to step up and make a play for me. Or if it's Chris Bell, you got to step up and make some plays because we have to be able to go over the top of defenses if we're going to continue to be successful in this offense.
Yeah, I think he enjoyed last year, Jeff did. I think he found it maximized what they had and what mm-hmm. they needed to do. But that's not the way he wants to play. It's not the way he wants to win on the offensive side in particular. I think we'll see. But I just thought that was a good question about this year's team that we'll see who they're able to answer. We'll take a quick break. We can come back. We're going to talk about a couple things. One, some newly revealed stuff from Matt Baker with Tampa Bay Times about how the ACC and Clemson worked together to try not sue each other. Mm. And talk about the tournament expansion that seems inevitable here and whether we like that or not and why. So we'll do those things. We'll take your calls, your texts throughout here as well. On The Drive on I-10 The Bow. Right back.